The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and it is time to preview the Thursday night football behemoth of a matchup between two teams in Florida. I call this the, this is like the Prisco Brady Bowl because Brady's a South Florida guy, Brady Quinn, and Pete Prisco is a South Georgia guy, North Florida guy, Jacksonville. And it's Jaguars versus Dolphins. Bring it on. We have a Florida man in his own right.
Don't you dare.
RJ White, great friend of the program. Of course. RJ, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Excited for tonight's game. You know, can't wait. You know, you said before, don't complain about these games. We didn't know if we were going to even have football, you know, several weeks ago, a few months ago. So give me Dolphins Jag. Give me all the Dolphins Jag on a Thursday night. I'm so happy for it.
Okay, so I joked because like last week on the Bengals Browns game, it was like, you know, they do the NFL, it's NFL Network in their preview. It's like next Thursday, Minshew, Fitzpatrick, it's Thursday night football in Jacksonville. And it's like, how did that guy record that preview? Did he record that promo like without laughing? Cause that's really impressive. If so, and Jaguars fans and Dolphins fans got mad at me because, you know, that's what they do. I wasn't saying I'm not excited about the game. It's just ridiculous to like promote it that way. I'm kind of excited about this game. These defenses stink and the offenses are kind of fun and crazy. Like you can picture a world where Minshew is sort of like Ryan Fitzpatrick's, like, you know, can you see Ryan Fitzpatrick looking in a mirror and maybe seeing Gardner Minshew? That's not out of control, right?
Yeah. If we find out that Gardner Minshew is somehow Ryan Fitzpatrick's long lost son, you know, it wouldn't surprise anyone because he could just come in and throw the ball all over the place and win games. And we think that at some point he's going to start, you know, losing some games if he's going to have that Fitz magic, Fitz tragic split that Ryan Fitzpatrick has. But it's been working so far, you know, looking good. They could have won both their games. They didn't, but, yeah, Jacksonville's a better team than we gave him credit for before the season.
Well, there's a little bit of heat between the two,
the mustache versus the beard. I mean, I think the beard is a cooler look. And I think guys that grow mustaches a lot of times have patchy sides for their beards. So they just stick with the mustache.
But you know, I'm gonna have respect for my elders. You know, especially when they're much, much elder. Oh, be respectful.
All right. So as you can hear, RJ, the battle of the facial hair. Minshew, Ryan Fitzpatrick pointed out that the people who have mustaches means they probably can't grow thick, furry, luxurious hair on their cheeks. And Gardner Minshew replied by saying, I won't make fun of my elders, especially when they're really, really, really old. I like it. I mean, I really do think that, those two guys, I feel like they would be buddies. Now, maybe the age difference is too much. And Minshew, like, you know, Fitzpatrick's got like 9 kids and Minshew has like 9 girlfriends. Maybe it's just not going to work. But, you know, there's a little spirit animal factor here.
I feel like definitely, you know, once their playing days are over, once we have some free time and we can start making movies again, get those two in a movie together and you could throw any type of script at it, you know, whatever type of Will Ferrell-ish type comedy and that dynamic between those two, very stepbrothers-esque, you know, it'd be a good movie to watch.
Ooh, that's a good Photoshop. We get the Pick Six podcast social team or the CBS Sports social team on that.
little stepbrother's action. I might drop Joe Polito a note right now. Let's talk gambling on this game, though. The Dolphins at the Jaguars. There will be fans there. I saw Jane Slater of NFL Network report on Thursday morning. The Jaguars are expecting 17,000 fans. That is that's a lot. That's a lot of fans. And that's, I think that's probably a reasonable home field advantage. Jane pointed out that multiple players told her, Minshew and LaVisca Chenault both told her that, you know, the fans did provide, you know, a boost for the Jaguars in week one when they played the Colts and pulled out a victory. The Jags are -3. The over under is 48. Jaguars -160 on the money line. Dolphins +140. Where do you go first with this game, knowing that Byron Jones out with a groin injury? DJ Chark questionable. We'll know later about him in the day. Brandon Linder and Josh Lambeau both out as well.
Yeah, you want to go over when it's open at 45. It's actually up to 48.5 as of Thursday morning. I don't know if I could play it, you know, over at 48.5. It seems like the easiest way to look in this game. You expect a lot of points, but when you could have gotten 45 earlier in the week, it's hard to play 48.5. So I don't think there's value there, but that would be the way I lean. It's hard to see Miami stopping Minshew and James Robinson, and I don't trust that Jacksonville defense. I think they'll give up a lot of points as the season goes along. They're kind of the AFC counterpart to the Panthers, a team with an offense that can score points and a defense that can give up points. And there was, in the primetime games last year, there wasn't a lot of scoring early in the year, and it became this trend of always take the unders in primetime games. Well, there's been a lot of scoring in the last four games on Thursday Night Football. I think they're beating the total by 13 points. So just because it's a short week, don't expect that this game, you know, has to go under. And we could still see the residual effects of that being week three and no preseason of defenses still not being quite there. So over seems like the best play in this. The number of three seems right where it should be. I don't love it. I mean, it's the juice is on Miami right now. If it gets to 2.5, I would look to Jacksonville. I do think they're the better team overall. Miami struggles in primetime. So does Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, we have some stats here that Miami's on a 4-game losing streak straight up and against the spread on Thursday Night Football. Miami's 5-14-1 against the spread in primetime games since 2010. It's the second worst mark since Houston. And Fitzpatrick himself is 4-10 against the spread since he debuted on primetime. So this seems like a place to fade Miami, fade Fitzpatrick. Play on Minshew's been playing really well. Miami's given up the highest passer rating in the league. Should be a big game for Minshew. So my lean would be to Jacksonville, but wait to see if you can get it at 2.5 before you play it. And my lean would be to the over, but there's just no value there.
Yeah, I agree on the entire analysis of that. And I know that's not compelling podcast audio, but like, I think Jacksonville is a better team. I feel like so far this year, RJ, that Miami has probably been overrated. I mean, they were 6-point dogs to the Patriots, which was in hindsight, was, I mean, they almost covered, but really shouldn't have. And then they were barely dogs to the Bills. And I guess that game was in Miami, so I understand that. But I mean, Buffalo blew them out and it wasn't remotely close. And now they're just 3-point dogs to Jacksonville. I understand Jacksonville is a significant downgrade from New England and Buffalo, especially defensively, but the Jags can score and we don't know that Miami can move the ball effectively on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I wouldn't call 5.5-point dogs at home, you know, underselling. That's a pretty big number for a home team. And then the 6 points for the Patriots was more about not knowing what we're going to see with Cam Newton. I mean, if we knew the Cam Newton that we were going to get, that line would have been, you know, 9 probably, or maybe even 10. So yeah, I think that's more a product of who they've played and, in week one. And then that week two line was pretty big and they covered it. You know, there's a good stat we'll talk about when we do our full picks pod for the Friday show about 0-2 teams against a spread that you want to play in week three. And that does not apply to Miami here because they covered the spread last week, even though they lost, you know, back and forth game with a good Buffalo team. So, they can score. They scored against a good.
Wait, did they cover? They didn't cover.
Yeah, it was a 5.5-point spread. They lost by 3. They almost won the game outright. The Bills had to rally and win at the end.
The Bills threw a garbage time touchdown to cover last week.
It was 3-point. Miami's 1-1 against the spread. So they can score points. They were in that game. And part of that was that Buffalo was missing key players in the middle of their defense. Their two best linebackers were out. And that's something you can take into this game because it's not like Jacksonville has great players up and down the defense. So once you weaken that Buffalo defense, Miami was able to, you know, throw some points and run up the score a little bit on them. And, Jacksonville, we know, has a weaker defense than Buffalo on all phases of the game. So Miami should be able to score some points here. That's why you got to lean to the over. You know, if you still like it, but don't play it at 48.5.
Okay. So. Miami was the one that backdoor covered. It was Buffalo scored. So Miami was winning 20-17. And then the Bills were like, bleep it. Let's let Josh Allen throw bombs. And he starts gunning it down the field late in the fourth quarter, which is very surprising. They take the lead 24-20. Then they go up again and they score on the, he threw that bomb to Diggs and then he hit John Brown for the touchdown on the next play. They go up 31-20 and then the Dolphins came through the back door, I believe. But I mean, they still covered. You're right. I was in my mind, I forgot that they came through the back door. I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, as a Bills fan, I was worried about that game because you didn't know we had the delays in that game. So at the end of the third quarter, it was the end of the fourth quarter for the other games. So when Miami went up at the end of the third quarter, I'm like, oh no, we're going to lose this game. And I had to check myself, be like, actually, we still got 15 minutes left.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You're right. Okay. So anyway, sorry that my head is in a weird space. Always. Anyway, let's take a break and when we come back, we'll tell you what props. So we're in agreement. Jags in the over, but wait and see if you get a better number. 2.5. And then, you know, if the over comes crashing back down, maybe take it. Cause we saw that with the Bills Bengals. It sunk the day of and then it shot up right before.
Yeah. At some point, the sharps got to come in on the under on this. So I'm hoping it gets pushed to 47.5 and then you play the over there.
You would play it at 47.5?
I'd play over at 47.5. 48 seems like a little bit, you know, too much for me. And then 48.5, I'm staying away definitely. But,
so if you're somebody who's just itching to bet the game, would you just buy a half a point?
I would just play Jaguars. I think, and then if you do believe that Jags defense is bad and they shouldn't be favored by 3 on anyone, play the money line on Miami if you want to take Miami. There's no reason to really play +3 when these are two ugly teams that could give you ugly performance at any time. So I don't mind taking Miami at like +140 on the money line either instead of, you know, playing the 3 and getting a push on the field goal.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about DFS and player props.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so this is, I saw Mike McClure of Sportsline. I mentioned this on the Pick Six podcast show, 4 p.m. every single day, except Tuesdays because it's Champions League. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Come watch it, please. Tune in. LaVisca Chenault over 36.5 receiving yards. This is a good prop for a number of reasons. I liked it. I liked it as soon as I saw it, and I jumped on it, and I agree with it completely. And I think LaVisca is a great option for DFS as well. But there's a very good chance, I think, that we see DJ Chark maybe not play. He's questionable. And if he doesn't play, then LaVisca is going to get peppered with targets, and his over-under is probably going to shoot up around game time to closer to like 50. So to me, 36.5 here is a slam dunk. Thoughts?
Yeah, the only thing you worry about with Chenault is they work him in a lot as a running, you know, back two and giving him carries. So if they're, you know, intent on giving him, say, 12 touches in the game and 5 of them or 6 of them are carries, that just makes it a little harder to hit your overs on the receiving yards. You know, if you play a all purpose yards or a total yards prop, and you know, it'd make a lot more sense to me. It'd be easier to hit because I think he had 5 carries for 20 something yards last week.
That's a good point. All right. What else are you looking at personally on this game from a prop standpoint?
Yeah, I think everybody's going to want to be on overs on Minshew. The one I would worry about is the attempts. I believe the number is somewhere in the, you know, 30 something range or 20 range. I don't have it right in front of me, but, I'll look it up as I'm talking. But the thing is, Josh Allen last week had, 417 yards or 413 yards and 4 touchdowns and only threw the ball 24 times. So it's not like you have to throw the ball a ton to move it on Miami. So it is possible that Minshew could have a good statistical game and just not have, it's 35.5 for his passing attempts. Like he could easily come under that. I believe, Miami gave up 35 in week one or against somebody else, or Minshew only had 35, I believe is what it was last week, even though he had a good game. So, this isn't a place that I'm looking to play Minshew's over. I go under on his, attempts if I'm going either one of these quarterbacks. And I don't trust Fitzpatrick at all in any totals. He could have way over his totals any game. He could have way under his totals any game. So that's kind of where I am on the quarterback.
He could rush for 100 yards. He could rush for like -5 yards. He could pass for 600 yards. He could pass for 100 yards. Anything is on the table with this guy.
right? And then, so you look at the other players who you might play. And the one I really like is James Robinson going over 65 and a half rushing yards. He's been a key part of this offense so far. He's had 16 carries in each game, averaging 5.1 yards per carry. 16 times 5 is 80 yards. So he just does that against a bad Miami defense, and he's going to get there. And then running backs totaled 119 rushing yards for the Patriots. No one running back stood out because they split that between four guys. And then the two key Bills running backs rushed for 93 yards in two Miami games. So Miami's more than capable of giving up 90 to 120 rushing yards in a game. And if Robinson's getting the bulk of the carries, then you have to love him getting over that. Jacksonville's only given two carries to Thompson. And we talked about Chark's injury. If Chenault does see more receiver work and he goes over that receiving total because they're using him more in that role, that just means more carries for Robinson. Maybe he gets to 20 carries. Maybe he gets a little bit more than that. So I think you have a great shot at hitting on the over on James Robinson.
So you like Robinson's over on carries and on rushing yards?
Rushing yards for sure. Carries, you know, it'll dictate the game. If Miami goes up early and Jacksonville has to rally back, then I think Robinson still has a chance of hitting a big play and getting you over that total, but you might not get all the carries.
How high would you go on Robinson rushing yards?
I'd probably get up to 75 or so.
Okay. I've got 71 and a half. It's gone up a yard in the last like hour. I would bet it gets up closer to 80.
It could because it's just the matchup is so good there.
Right. I mean, you know, when we think about game script, we'll talk about DFS twos. Like, in theory, the Jaguars as a 3-point favorites at home are going to be, you know, have a lead and be trying to run the ball effectively on Miami. Like, I think they, and by the way, Jacksonville's offensive line, a little sneaky. Not playing terrible. Well.
Yeah. I mean, Linder being out hurts, but,
Linder out. Yeah. But, Taylor is coming on nicely.
Taylor, it seems like they finally have some continuity. They're not shuffling guys in and out, you know, aside from this injury. So it seems like they're all getting used to playing together and they're working well as a unit.
And Robinson, I think too, like one of the things for this coaching staff in this front office is after shipping out everybody, it's paramount to show like, hey, we can find young talent, and they have CJ Henderson, Kalavon Chase on defense. But if you're like, hey, look, we like, you know, Tom Coughlin drafted Fournette and we can find a running back for nothing. Look at this kid we found in the late round. This kid's a stud. We cut Fournette, no NBD. NBD, Shad and Tony, no big deal. It's fine. We got James Robinson. Like, can't you see that narrative kind of starting to form for the Jaguars? And Robinson's found the end zone as well. Any thoughts on first touchdown?
Yeah, I'd like Chenault to score the first touchdown. I mean, he had one in the opening game. We think he's going to get more work here if Chark is hurt. So Byron Jones is out. If Chark doesn't play, he has a big opportunity. I think you can pair – you can also do Chenault scores any touchdown, and James Robinson scores any touchdown and get that for plus 600. So if you get one touchdown each from either of those guys in this game, you'll hit at plus 600. I think that's a pretty good value too. And then if you're looking for guys to back on the Dolphins side, I would look at Preston Williams. He has over 3.5 catches and over 46 and a half receiving yards. He only had 3 catches in his 2 games total, but that's on 12 targets. So I think the production is coming. They're actually going to him a decent amount down the field. And, so once he gets these better matchups, because he played, you know, New England, you know, and those tough guys there, and then Buffalo, and Jacksonville's obviously a lot easier than that. Isaiah Ford actually has 14 targets in that offense in 2 weeks. So as things open up for these other receivers, I expect them to start taking some of his targets. So I think Williams can get over his targets as well and might be a sneaky play for some of these first touchdown props and long shot props.
Yeah, I like Williams a lot. 41 and a half, I think I had his over at previously. Let me double check on 45 and a half now at William Hill. I still like it at 45 and a half though. I mean, this is the game again, the game script. I don't think there's a game script that comes about in this game where the Dolphins aren't throwing some.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like they're going to be passing the ball at least some. Williams should get over 50 receiving yards. I bet that up to 50. All right, let's talk DFS. When we're looking at showdown lineups, I won't mention that I came close to winning a big amount of money on showdown last week. I won't do that again. But I will tell you that right now, when you go to DraftKings, you're obviously the top. Wow, this is kind of interesting. Do you know who the third most expensive player is behind Minshew and Fitzpatrick is on DraftKings?
Is it DJ Chark?
It's not.
Is it Devontae Parker?
You probably do know who it is, right?
I don't have it in front of me. I didn't memorize.
Tua. What is Tua Tagovailoa? $15,000 for a captain spot. That's really spicy.
Well, just in case he plays, yeah. I mean, they had to protect themselves when they put those prices out. And in the case he gets named the starter, you can't have him down there at the $5,000 range.
Right. Well, then, I mean, it's not even protecting themselves. It's more like just protecting the integrity of the contest. That's, does somebody know something? That's weird. You never see a backup quarterback that expensive. I mean, like, usually you just make him something in the range of like 8,000, but maybe they put, although my boy Mike Glennon, 9,000. He's more than Tyler Eifert or Keenan Cole. Look at, he's not even on the team.
If you're DraftKings, the thing you got to worry about is Tua's going to get named the starter at some point. You know it's coming. So you have to kind of raise his level.
I'm guessing they put these prices out. I hadn't looked until today because that's just how I wrote the show down, but I'm guessing they put them out a while ago. DJ Chark, the fourth most expensive for captain at 14-1. Devontae Parker, 12-6. James Robinson, 11-7. Mike Gesicki, 11-1. Miles Gaskin, 10-8. Preston Williams, 10-2. Visca, 9-9. The Jaguars defense, LOL, 9-6. And then Luton, their backup quarterback. This is really interesting pricing, RJ, because you want to get both quarterbacks, but I think it's going to be really hard to do that and to still fit in. It depends on Chark, I guess. Like if Chark is out, then everybody can kind of load up on the you can easily get a lineup that's pretty loaded. If Chark is in, I think it's a little more difficult.
Yeah, and if Chark is out and they activate D.D. Westbrook, who's been inactive the first 2 weeks, then you got to look to D.D. Westbrook because he's only $200. And we know that he had a pretty good year last year. He was relied on a lot, and, you know, he seemed to have a good rapport with Minshew. You know, it didn't seem like there's any reason why he wouldn't throw to him if he gets inserted in this lineup. So if you see that Chark is ruled out, go ahead and throw Westbrook in if he's active. And then you can use both quarterbacks with one at captain plus, you know, a Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, James Robinson, however, whatever you want to do the combinations otherwise.
You can do a Minshew at captain, Fitzpatrick, Mike Gesicki, Preston Williams, James Robinson, and then throw in D.D. Westbrook if you want. Now, obviously, you can't. So you can't get all of those guys and Laviska Shenault, which is the only problem. But you can do this is probably the chalkiest lineup possible, right? Minshew captain, Fitz, Shenault, Preston Williams, James Robinson, and then Matt Breida, who's the highest available guy you can fit with all those primary guys. Does that seem like that'll be the?
Maybe. I don't know that Preston Williams is very chalky because he's, you know, 3 catches and 12 targets, so there might not be people looking up.
He absolutely should have had a touchdown. It was a horrific touchdown drop against on fourth down and goal against the Bills. Like, great throw by Fitzpatrick, easy route, short yardage. I mean, just bring it in and fall in the end zone. And all of a sudden, I think people are probably a lot higher on him. So maybe it's a good buy low for him.
Yeah, I think it's good buy low. I think people will avoid him because of his, you know, three catches and 12 targets numbers, and his overall numbers aren't that good. So that's probably the main guy I'm looking to feature, him and James Robinson, and in all my lineups, whether it's 50-50 or tournaments.
Is there any case to be made for going? I guess there definitely is a case, but how strong a case would you be willing to make to go with like Laviska Shenault, or a Preston Williams as a captain?
My non-quarterback captain is going to be James Robinson. I talked about how he could run all over them. They're favored in this game. He could get up to 20 carries and it wouldn't shock me, 20 plus carries. And, you know, he's already rushing for 5 yards a carry, and the Dolphins are doing terrible against running backs. So I'm using James Robinson in my tournament. I think he could have a big game and jump those teams that have Minshew and score more points than Minshew. I do like that Preston Williams as a sleeper, though. Nobody's going to use him. So if you think that he is due and he's going to have a big game against a bad secondary, he's a nice little play there in captain as well.
Just looking at potential roster rate for captains, it looks like you can probably expect around 12 to 15% captainship for Minshew and Fitzpatrick. Robinson, right around 10% maybe. Chark, 8%. Chark and Devontae Parker around 8%. So do you have any concerns about fading Devontae Parker? You're right. Preston Williams is a sleeper at like around 6%.
Yeah, you could. I mean, it depends on how healthy Parker is as well. But I don't see that he's not going to get his. It kind of just depends on who's open and who Fitzpatrick tries to throw to. So maybe Parker has, you know, 3 or 4 targets just because everybody else is so wide open and it just doesn't happen for him. So that's the only concern you have to have with Parker, because this is a great matchup either way.
Yeah, it feels like the obvious stack would be Minshew and a pass catcher with Robinson And then you bring it back with a bunch of Dolphins who are going to throw bombs down the field, I think.
And the one thing is you can't use the Jaguars kicker in this game because they put Lambeau on IR, and the and that happened after they put these numbers out. So they don't have the new kicker on the thing. At least they didn't as of late Wednesday night when I looked. So if you want to have a kicker in this game, you got to have the Miami kicker.
That might be a concern for the over, too. Or does that help the over if they go for it on fourth down?
It could. There's nothing that says this guy's going to miss a lot of kicks, this guy coming in. But Lambeau is a good kicker. So maybe if you get one less field goal than a number that was going to go over at 49 is all of a sudden 46, you know, and you're screwed.
Okay. That's the show. I hope you listen. Brandon Wright, 5,400. Wait, he is on there.
They put him on there? He wasn't on there as of Wednesday night when I was building my lineups.
Devo is the best producer in the game. Like, Devo, like somebody will say something and – I don't see him. Oh yeah, Brandon Wright. Yeah, no, 5,400 captain. He's 3,600. Brandon Wright, to roster regular Josh Lambeau, 4,400. So there is some value built in there.
I'd go ahead and use that if you're having trouble, you know, meshing everybody else you want in your lineup. 3,600 is fine for a kicker in a game that should be high scoring.
Yeah, that's not a bad price at all. And I think people will click on and be like, who is that guy? So there's some potential value there. All right. That is the show. Thanks for listening. RJ, always a pleasure. I will talk to you for our pick show, White and Tan Pick Show.